And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man will come to bed. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's grind when the man comes right? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here with us tonight. We are moving right along in time, ladies and gentlemen, and we got an exciting series for you tonight that we're going to begin anew. So you just call a friend and tell them that we're on the air on WWCR 5070 on Sunday, July the 24th, 2005. So we're moving right along. And call that friend and tell them that they need to listen in tonight. Tonight's entitlement of the message, The Veil Over Genesis. Tonight we're going to talk about some of the things that are coded and veiled in the very beginning. Now listen to this. There is nothing new under the sun, as the Bible says. So if there's nothing new, then we're just rehashing, if you will, or going back through an experience, basically, that we've already had. Now, that may sound strange to some of the individuals that don't understand what this battle's all about. But if you notice the pathology of civilization, or civilizations in this matter that we're going to talk about, pathology, what's that word mean? It is a path that is worn through history. And the path of our present civilization is on a destructive path already proven in the past. So why are we doing this? Why do we reproduce catastrophe in our lives individually and collectively and socially and structurally? I believe it's because we have been traumatized and programmed to stay ignorant and fearful and superstitious and fearful, both as a species and individually, beginning at birth. Now, somebody had to tamper with the evidence, and somebody had to come in and rework the original purpose of our being here. Or maybe since the fall of man, Adam fell in the beginning, but what was his purpose? Was there a fall prior to Adam? We're going to talk about those things. And who caused the fall? What was the result and the consequences? Because we need to become participants of the multidimensional wilderness in which we are embedded, that we can navigate our way cautiously through this system that has been pre-designed. And as we play the part of actors on the world stage, it's just like time and the timelines of time and dimensions, there's nothing we can do. We can't stop it. And we say, well, can we change it? Well, if there's nothing new under the sun for what is to be has already been, then basically there's not much we can do about it. Except we can come to the realization that somebody has designed a day-to-day substitute world that makes it look like we're living in a world of reality. In a sense, it's not. We're not living in a real world. This world is all out of shape. Power and powerful people are ruling the world. They're ruling through symbols of dollars and minutes and numbers and images and words that are constantly being placed in our minds as we are being manipulated to wring forth the most possible profit from ever conceivable circumstance from the body and the spirit and the soul. We are told basically to follow a strictly religious path that has done been designed for our pathology. In other words, we're geared to think a certain way. If you're born in China, you're probably a Buddhist. If you're born in America, especially in the South, you're probably Southern Baptist, likely. And so on and so on and so on. If you're born in South America, you're probably a Catholic. Brazil and all of the heavily populated areas that are Catholic. But who caused all this? Who gave us these religions to dumb us down? Who has stymied our growth? Who has taken away the power of potential from our brain? Well, we're going to talk about those that from heaven came according to the book of Genesis. We're going to lift the veil in reality, and we're going to look at some of the destruction that has been witnessed in the pathology of the civilizations of the past. If we look at it, we can read about the horror and the terrible plight of our ancestors, as we've been made to believe that they came from the cave, clubbing their women and dragging them to their cave and to have children forcibly. But that ain't what happened. In the very beginning, Bereshit, Genesis, in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we're looking at a world that had already failed. According to Genesis 1, the earth became void and dark. It wasn't created void and dark because there is no darkness in the Creator, if we believe that a creator brought forth the heavens. Well, did a single deity bring forth the heavens, or was there a mighty host of beings called, and in man's terms, they're called angels? I'd like to talk to you a little bit tonight about what the Bible describes them as, other than angels. But I want to start out in Ecclesiastes, number 3, chapter 3, and verse 15. I want to start there to give you a little gestalt, groundwork, build-up for the four-part series on the veil over Genesis. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and God, Elohim, in plural, 430 Strong's, requireth that which is past. I want to read that again to you so that you'll get the drift of our message as we go into the text of the veil over Genesis. That which hath been is now, and that which is hath been, or that which is to be hath already been. And God, Elohim, requireth the past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness. Get it now? That iniquity was there. Remember what it says about the great red dragon that we just finished up in the series? Remember what it talked about? Of the dragon, that a star fell from heaven, and with him he drew, his tail drew the third part of the stars that came from heaven. Remember what the Bible talks about that particular star, and what it's got to say about he that came as the abominable branch? Well, Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to read you a verse of scripture here in the 12th verse. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, a son of the morning? Now, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people think that Lucifer is the bright in the morning star. He's not. That distinction fell upon the shoulders of the HaMashiach, the one that came into the earth plane, to give an example of the sons of the mighty ones, who taught us and told us that we have the potential in our minds to form a powerful weapon of faith. Now, the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please him, and with faith all things are possible. But Satan came to turn the world upside down, or in this case, he came to turn it inside out. He gave us the five-dimensional aspects of seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, smelling. He gave us these aspects for the carnal mind. Remember, he's the tree of good and evil. So in every man and woman upon the earth who are in this category of the carnality or the flesh realm, they have a spirit, they have a mind, both carnal and good now, or both spiritual and natural, and we have to wrestle each day against the impulses of the flesh man. Now, the Bible says that God made man upright, but he sought out many evil inventions. Now, what's that mean? It means that somebody came and taught us the art of sorcery. The first thing that Satan did, and the fallen ones, how they're fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, and how thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation. How did Satan and the fallen angels weaken the people called nations here upon the earth? Well, according to Matthew chapter 13, this is the message of the book of Enoch. We're going to get in deeply involved into the book of Enoch in the series. And this is the book that was excluded from canonization. They didn't want this book, this particularly open rebellion revealing, and Satan fought and persuaded the scribes and the Pharisees who compiled the canonization along with the Holy Roman Catholic Church to exclude the book of Enoch. Listen to what the book of Enoch says. And behold, a star fell from heaven, and the children of the earth begin to tremble and quake before them and to flee from them. Now let me see if I understand what this veiled book of Genesis is telling us, and particularly the book of Bereshit in the beginning, the book of Enoch. Remember, the Bible says here that Satan fell. He's the star. And if you spell star backwards, what do you get? Just do yourself a favor if you've got pen and paper in hand. Spell star backwards, and you'll get the idea of what happened here. A conspiracy developed in the heavens against the plan of the Elohim, the mighty ones, beings from another planet. Let's just put it in plain basic English for you to understand my drift here. That there was war in heaven. Revelation 12, particularly verse 7. A war in heaven that exploded throughout the universe. Did you know that cosmic destruction that we've talked about here, that if we go into the field of the universe, that we see that there is, according to Bode's law, a planet should exist between Mars and Jupiter, and yet it's not there. That would be some 260 million miles from the sun. But beginning in 1801, with the advent of the telescopes, tiny rock and metallic objects were discovered to be orbiting the sun at this particular distance. Since then, several hundred thousand large asteroids have been cataloged. It had earlier become evident that much of this material of this missing planet had been pulled into the orbits of the Earth, Mars, and Jupiter as either meteors or orbiting satellites. Therefore, there is a missing planet in the system. Could this have been Satan's home base planet? Was it taken out of the circle of stones, as we call it in the heavens, for the transgressions of the wicked ones who from heaven came, as Satan began to conspire with the rebellious angels? One third of them fell through transgression. And there was a penalty imposed upon them by the mighty ones. Now, this war that began to be fought, a battle, it says, there was war in heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, is it any strange thing to imagine that in the last days that there is going to be a galactic wars once again fought in the presence of man, just like they were in the beginning. We're talking about in a time period before Genesis 1. Now, this all happened prior to this Earth Age. So now, we're in the second Earth Age and quickly merging into the third Earth Age that is coming upon us very soon. And there's nothing new under the sun. If the book of Enoch is right, and I believe it is, this star that fell from heaven is recorded in Isaiah chapter 14. Look it up for yourself and see if the Bible doesn't correspond greatly to the book of Enoch. Now, there's several references to the book of Enoch in our present scriptures. Let me read you what the Bible says that Satan tried to do when he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, beginning at the 12th verse of the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Now, we're going to pull the veil of Genesis. It may not be the picture that you have imagined. You have been told from your Sunday school days, and this theory is still being circulated in the 501(c) bell box mentality churches, where the carnal mind is king. Spiritual-minded people will come out of Babylon. But those who are obsessed with tradition, superstition, fear, and ignorance, and for the sake of the umbilical cord tied back to the flesh of mommy, and for the sake of wife, house, lands, or even filthy lucre's sake, they tend to gyrate toward the flesh mind. Therefore, Satan becomes the god of this earth in their mind. The earthen temples, individually speaking, where there's catastrophic change going through the mind in the heavens, the left and the right brain lobes, which have to take into account what it sees, hears, feels, touches, and tastes. You see, from the spiritual mind, that is from the inner kingdom of man, for the kingdom of heaven is within you, according to Luke 17. Then we must understand that that which comes from above has to come from within. And that which comes from below comes from outside man. That's what he sees, hears, tastes, smells, and feels. The five senses of the carnal mind. But the fivefold principle of faith is you can't see, you can't hear, you can't touch, you can't taste, and you can't smell. Now, why would it be so opposite? Because that which is in is out, and that which is out is in, that which is up is down, and that which is down is up. It's a paradox of opposites. Yahweh chose the inward spirit man to be his child. Satan chose the outward man to kill it, to give it death. It is once appointed unto a man to die. That is the death of the carnal, the satanic part of man. It's choices, ladies and gentlemen. But then Satan had a plan to come down and sow his seed, according to Matthew chapter 13. You read that in detail, as we're going to go into it later on in the message. But we find Satan here in the Garden of Eden. Now, this is prior to the exit of Adam along with Satan. Remember, Satan himself was thrown out of the garden. Heaven. The garden, in this sense, is heaven. The interdimensional man was a man of Genesis 1:26 and 1:27. The man that was made flesh is the eighth day man. And the Genesis man of 1:26 was placed within the body of the eighth thing there. Eighth is a new beginning. There had to be a new beginning. And so after Yahweh and the Elohim, who rejoiced to see the dawning of man, to refurbish or replenish the earth from the Genesis to chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the veil is lifted, as we see in the coded messages. This is Satan who caused a war to erupt in the garden. Now this garden, the word garden, is not the proper word to be placed. It is a dimension. Remember, a dimension has no time and no place. At that time, there was no time and there was no place. Because wherever he is, you are. And wherever you are, he is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the whole concept of the inward heaven or the inward garden. Satan led a rebellion to open the door and escape from the spirit cosmos or dimensional aspect of being. He wanted to be a tangible flesh and blood creature. Now remember, the Bible says that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, when Satan led the rebellion, he led all of the captives of the fifth dimension into the third dimension of a tangible reality of the five senses of the carnal mind. And there's the fall. We all want to create. We all like to build. You see, we're eating and we're drinking and we're building and we're inhabiting and we're being merry simply because we have the unction from the carnal mind as achievers. And yet, if you look at this earth and go back to the time set of when the beginning of Genesis Bereshit in the beginning began, you will be quite surprised at the time that is elapsed between Genesis 1 and 1 and prior Genesis behind the veil, as I call it now, behind the veil of Genesis 1:1. That's where we're going. That's what we're going to talk about. Satan wanted to lead a rebellion to arrive upon planet Earth after his planetary system was taken out of existence prior to Genesis 1:1. So the planet and the asteroid belt, as we call it, we know that our scientists and those who have measurement, precision measurement instruments, can tell that there existed a planet between Mars and Jupiter prior to Genesis 1:1. The Genesis 1:1 is a recent introduction into time. It is actually a replacement. Remember, the Bible said nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. So Adam to be had already been prior to Genesis 1. And we're now in that present stage of time. Well, outside of Genesis 1:1, time did not exist. It was a place of perpetual dimensional being where these angelic beings were coming forth, being fruitful and multiplying and occupying. Just like we plan on, those of you who claim Christ's inheritance, as well as myself, plan on going to heaven. Well, where in the world is heaven? Well, the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within you. Well, we don't want to go within. We want to look up in the sky without and hunt a heaven. It don't exist. It's not out there. That's an illusion. To find the truth, you must find your place within. And by going in, you must veil your carnal mind. Remember when Moses came out into the carnal world, back to the carnal people, back to the people to deliver the message, he had to wear a veil because he'd been within. And so the veil served as a separation of the holiness of Yah and the most holy ones called watchers in the Bible. We now have a dimensional split, or a split of the atom as it's called. And we are trying to climb up on the shoulders of science in some mechanical fashion to go back into the heavens. Matter of fact, as I speak right now, we're on the launch pad in Florida, being ready to launch out into the deep or out into space. What do we hunt for out there? Why are we going to the expense of billions and billions in a hidden agenda? Like Jim, you haven't seen the real money spent. Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy is a diversion. That is not the real space program of the New World Order. They have another one that you don't know exists. This is kept secret, top secret. Most, they break their silence, the code of silence. They come on the hit list of the New World Order, and you don't live very long when you cross the New World Order. Listen to this now. Behold, a star fell from heaven. This is Satan and his angels. Now, this is part two, the time of Revelations 12, which Revelation is seen to be written in the end. But it's talking about a time in the beginning. And the children of the earth begin to tremble and quake before those who fell from heaven and to flee from them. And again, I saw how they begin to gore and devour those upon the earth, and the earth begin to cry aloud. Now, what's this all about? Those angels who transgressed had such flesh and blood appetites that the book of Enoch says that they actually literally ate their way through the earth. Now, when these strangers, if you can call them strangers, they were aliens. The reason they were alien, that they were formed and came into being not upon the earth as Adam the eighth day, but they came from another planetary system. Now, did you know in our present universe there's a billion stars? This is just an estimate. But in these billions of stars that are there in the Milky Way or in the galaxy or in the universe, that there are, in each star system, at least, science says, 2 to 4 planets or planetary systems within the star systems. For instance, the Pleiades, that they say that there's at least 4 to 5 planetary systems within that star system that could support life as it is known upon the earth. Now, the Bible don't speak of a world, it speaks of worlds. So we are not alone in this world, ladies and gentlemen. It's just unfortunately that we've been dumbed down to think so. And those who think so, they think outside the box. Now, to think correctly, you've got to think within. You've got to come within to think properly. And as these giants in the earth, according to Genesis 6 and 8, that there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of El, the sons of God, Strong's 430, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, they begin to bear children to them, and these children become mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Fortunately or unfortunately, the sexual relations between the strange humanoids and the alien visitors and our Earth women prove that failure at producing offspring because they begin to teach them the art of war, jealousy, intimidation, fear, and superstition, and the art of religion. Can you just go back and think about the Earth under the canopy system with no gravity in a perfect environment of a constant temperature and those seasonal changes when these monsters from the stars mated with the daughters of man and produced the demon race that we now have among us? Remember, the Bible says that Satan is the one that sowed the tares among the wheat. And if you can't see that, you'll never understand what Pastor Buddy's talking about tonight. The alien masters know, and they knew then that they were doing a forbidden thing because they were commanded not to marry. But the lust that they had to create. You see, they wanted to be created because Satan said, the day that you take this fruit, or the day that you lay with me. See, the proper word is not eat, when he said, and he gave to the woman, and she did eat. One of the definitions of that word eat, Strong's number 398, was lay, L-A-Y, rather than E-A-T. Insert lay there. And you'll find out how Satan became the genetic interference of the Earth races that resulted in several hybrid-type races in the Earth. We got them today, ladies and gentlemen. But Yah, who strived to keep a true race of his own blood, overshadowed Sarah himself. He visited Sarah. When Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90, Yahweh visited Sarah, and something miraculous happened. She got pregnant with Isaac, who was the son of Yah. Now, the royal bloodline comes into being to oppose, if you will, the satanic Cain line that was already in the earth. You see, Satan lay with Eve to impregnate her, if we use the word lay in terms of a sexual relationship. And I know that the average church person will not ever accept that that's what happened. But the cold, stark reality is true. It was a sexual sin in the garden. You ever notice that a woman in her menstrual cycle of 12 times a year, and that the time is approximately somewhere around the full moon or the cycle of open, and without the shedding of this cycle, there's no remission of sin. And once she quits or stops shedding blood, chances are she's pregnant. You see, the blood stops when she becomes pregnant, and there's no more offering for sin. As long as she has a cycle of blood flow, then that blood covers the sin. But once the blood stops, then sin conceived, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. That's the death or the curse that is put upon the man that was turned out of this fifth dimension, heavenly paradise, wherever it was. Now, you say, well, it had to be on earth. Well, the actual putting out, the Bible said everything existed somewhere else. Every tree, every plant, before it grew in the earth, existed somewhere else prior to being planted upon it. Who planted it? Who brought all these seeds? Who brought all these birds? Who brought all the evolutionary cycles that we have? Was it not the Mighty Ones? And was it not the Nakash, the sorcerer, the spell enchanter that brought death into the world through a flesh and body, and that this flesh and body has been snapping, if you will, striking, if you will, in a serpentine relationship at the heel of the offspring of the woman. Now, what is that offspring? It was to bruise the head of the serpent people. So the battle now is in the light sons and the dark sons, the sons of light and sons of darkness. And this battle has gone on repeatedly for years and years and years, and will go on until the very end. Now, let me give you a few scriptures to bring into context just exactly what I said. Now, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. That which has been is that which will be. Isn't that strange? Ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you a theory of what's behind the veil of Genesis is this, that there pre-existed an earth in righteousness before Genesis 1 and 1. This earth was the breeding ground of the souls that would later be reincarnated into the earth plane of the second earth to replenish. If there's nothing new under the sun, for that which used to be has already been, then we already existed. If we exist now, we already existed according to the Bible. That which is that which will be. And that which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So that there is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, read it. That which has been is that which will be. Well, if you were born in the earth, it must mean that you were born prior to this second earth in the first earth. Now, let me give you a scripture to verify that scripture to the second earth people who were in the beginning. I'll show you that they had to be participants in the second earth stage, which would affect the third earth stage. Remember those that were disobedient in the days of Noah that we're talking about here, who did marry angels and interlocked and interbred and miscegenized their seed to the point of extinction? And that Yahweh took Noah, righteous in his genetics, righteous in his genetical makeup. Remember, kind after kind. And Adam, to Noah, had stayed perfectly straight in his genetics. He had not mixed or mingled his blood. See, Satan wants to mingle the blood to become a vanity affair in the earth, where Yahweh himself cannot destroy the blood of a snake without destroying the blood of his people. And so then, Satan's chess game of striving with the mighty one, Yah, he said, I will make my sons and my daughters marry your sons and your daughters, and we will intertwine our flesh and blood together until you won't know one from the other. Ecclesiastes 1:14 said, I've seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. Thus, Ecclesiastes 2:11, I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there is no profit under the sun. So I hated life for the work which had been done under the sun. It was grievous to me because everything is vanity and striving after the wind. Ecclesiastes 2:17. Therefore, In Ecclesiastes 2:18, the preacher said, I hated all the fruit of my labor which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me, which was before me. What a paradox that we live in tonight, with the New World Order emerging as a more powerful weapon of the satanic sons of darkness to hasten the day when they will rule over the sons of Yah, and therefore completely destroy the sons of God. Did you know that the Bible says that in the beginning that the production of Genesis chapter 6 produced giants, and that there was a continual for warfare for those giants and their bloodline to be exterminated in the earth? 1 Chronicles 20:4, now it came after this, that war broke out at Giza with the Philistines, and then Sabekiah, the Hushathite, killed Scythia, one of the descendants of the giants, and they were subdued. 1 Chronicles 20:6, again there was war at Gath. Now at Gath, there was the enclave of the giants. And there was a man of great stature who had 24 fingers and toes. 24 fingers and toes. 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. And he was descended from the giants. And these were the descended giants in Gath. And they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Ladies and gentlemen, 24. Something genetically wrong with the 5-fingered, 5-toed faith venture of man. These watchers that came from heaven. Listen to what Job said. Did you know that Job was counseled by the watcher? As he spoke, he said, have I sinned, and what have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, and why am I a burden to myself? In Daniel 4:13, I was looking in the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. And in that the king, in his vision, saw a watcher, Daniel said, a holy one, descending from heaven. This is Nebuchadnezzar in the first Babylonian kingdom. He saw a watcher. You think the fourth kingdom, Babylon, is going to see a watcher? They'll see many watchers. Ladies and gentlemen, in the days of the fourth kingdom beast upon the earth, and I spoke about it, and the kingdom beast of Rome, and the great red dragon that's riding his head up now to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Listen to this. I saw this watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and say, chop down the tree and destroy it. It leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beast of the field until 7 periods of time pass over him. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the war of the watchers. The watchers have programmed, both good and bad. We have been programmed to think evil, and we've been programmed to think good. Now, see, it's your choice. It's your commitment. How far do you want to go to please the Father? Do you want to run with the crowd and be the regular Joe on the block and not be a wave crasher or a wave surfer? Ladies and gentlemen, you can't sit on the fence much longer. You're going to have to bring to the table a decision. And that decision is, choose this day who you'll serve. Are you going to serve the kingdom of Babylon in the last day, the fourth kingdom, where it says it will rule with a rod of iron, and that it will cause and break and residue all of the opposition, and it will wear out the saints of the Most High, and it will hunt them down as common criminals and kill them, thinking that they're doing God a service? Part 2 of the Genesis veil, we're going to get into the continents and the shift of the continents and the major land masses of the earth prior to the formation of the present day 5 continent of the five fingers and five toes facts that the angel that stood upon the land and upon the sea caused a great shaking till the earth was literally broken up and man was separated and his language was confused and confounded to the point where they left off building this great Babylonian tower that is going to reach into heaven. And what will it do? This power struggle is Satan in his technology and all his undertaking is to build a bridge from earth back to heaven from whence he was cast out of. And therefore he needs the help of man and the kings of the earth. And he's already working since 1941. Satan, knowing that the time was up, the 1,000 years was finished, has now begun his undertaking to take over the earth. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I haven't seen Satan around lately. You will. You don't think he's a real being? You don't think he exists? You think he's some figment of your imagination that he's dancing like in the fairy dust of time and the cosmic time? No, he's not. He's a real being, just like Michael, who had the power to appear in many times in the past in the scriptures as a watcher, and as Gabriel appeared as a messenger angel. They've not aged one day, neither has Satan or his angel who have failed. They rule the earth in the underground abode where they were cast or where they have hidden themselves until the time of the end, when they know that they have but a short time, they will come out upon the surface, and all mankind upon the surface will be taken under rule by the cunning craftiness and the miracle-making, shaking power of Satan and his angels. You talk about the raptured church. You'll see Christians getting on board their ships and riding out of here, expecting to go into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, what a surprise.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast the golden crown. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big campground. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are calling, some are crying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and 50 pounds. When the man comes around.
Of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.